come out of the Hall of Shame. And as we keep the feast days, we think of John chapter 7:37. On that last day, that great day of the feast, the Messiah stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spake concerning the Spirit, which those believing in him would receive. For the Ruach HaKadosh was not yet given, because Messiah was not yet magnified." Some commentaries state that the Messiah spoke those words in John 7:37 on the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the last day of the tabernacle season, I should say. The seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles is the last day for that. There's 7 days, and then the eighth day in Leviticus 23:36, the eighth day is an annual separated pure day, a special Sabbath, a high day, and is mentioned in Numbers 29:35 as well. Numbers 29 is mentioned throughout the word. It's mentioned in John 7:37. We just read that. So this day, the last great day, is referred to as Shemini Atzeret, the eighth day of assembly, and was treated by rabbis as an independent festival. In Unger's Bible Handbook, 1967 edition, says the last day of Tabernacles was the most solemn and climatic of the entire festival cycle. It was the eighth day of rest and separated assembly, and it still is. You know, they are always using the verb in past tense, where it should be in present tense. But we look back to see how the Hebrews kept the feast. And we are Hebrews now. We are not some kind of spiritualized Hebrews. We are actual all descendants, and unless we are Greek, we're actual descendants of Moses and Abraham. So during the last 7 days, during the 7 days prefiguring their wilderness wandering, water was drawn from the pool of Siloam and then poured out, commemorating the water supplied to the Hebrews in the desert. Now, this isn't something that we have to do. It's not in Scripture. It doesn't tell us, it is in Scripture, but it doesn't tell us that we have to go to the pool of Siloam and pour out the water and do things in a ritualistic way. But it is commanded to attend the feasts. The eighth day, that last great day, signifies the employment of the springs of the land itself, where no water was poured out, according to this Unger's Bible Handbook on page 550. The Ryrie Study Bible concurs, though it is not mentioned in the so-called Old Testament, the Jews had a ceremony of carrying water from the Pool of Siloam, pouring it into a silver basin by the altar of burnt offering each day for the first 7 days of the Feast of Tabernacles. But on the eighth day, this was not done, making Messiah's offer of the water of eternal life from himself even more startling. The fact that in John 7 that he mentioned that rivers of living water shall flow from your heart. Further insight is given by Bill Green in the Hebrew Feasts, page 281. At Tabernacles, they remained not only through the full term of 7 days, but on the eighth day, which in latter times at least was reckoned the great day of the feast, John 7:37. The eighth day is in the observance of the feasts mentioned by Ezra in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah 8:18, and from the increasing concourse of pilgrims making their pilgrimages, it had risen to great consequence in the time of Yahweh, in the time of the Messiah, John 7. If you're not following this part, we'll just kind of skip ahead here. Okay, I've got one more book to quote from. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, a commentary on the whole Bible, says that the reference to the last day, that great day of the feast in John 7:37, applies to the eighth day. It was a Sabbath, the last feast day of the year. And what a great time, too, when our minds are relaxed and open. We don't have the problems of the world so much. Oh, we might have to get up and do all of that, which kind of slows the mind down as we muddle through the daily activities. Even at the feast, we do have some of the menial things we have to do here on earth. We got to, first of all, get up out of bed. We got to make that first step. Sometimes we don't even get that far. But rest is good for you, just as long as it's not way too much. So the eighth day, that last great day, it's not the seventh day, it's the eighth day. Someone said, first fruits Now, they were wrong, but they said the first fruits fell on the first day of the week. And so that initiated the keeping of Sunday. But if that were true, why didn't Moses then initiate the keeping of the weekly rest day, the Sabbath day? Why didn't he keep it on that Sunday, that first day of the week? Anyway, we're kind of arguing back and forth. I want to get away from that, about that. It's already proven in Scripture, so there's no reason to pull this way and that on it. Even though it is good to discuss, we can't say it's forbidden to discuss things, or then we have absolutely no dialogue between us. We have no sitting down to consider Scriptures. Messiah pointed out that the time would arrive when everyone who thirsts would come to him to receive from him the gift of living waters, the Ruach HaKadosh. That promise will not be fulfilled totally until the great white throne judgment of Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. After the millennium, in verse 4 of Revelation 20, then the great white throne judgment in verse 11. While the Feast of Tabernacles pictures the millennium, the great white throne judgment is pictured by the last great day, or the eighth day. Yahweh said, now remember, he is the word he said in Jeremiah 44:13, as well as myriad, many, many places. He said, for I will punish them that dwell in the land of Mitzrayim, as I have punished Jerusalem, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, so that none of the remnant of Judah, which are gone into the land of Mitzrayim or Egypt, to sojourn there, shall escape. None shall escape or remain, that they should return into the land of Judah, to the which that I have desired to return to dwell there. For none shall return, but such as shall escape. They were reading Jeremiah 44, and then 15, 44, 15. Then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other Elohim, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Mitzrayim, and Pathros answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of Yahweh, we will not hearken unto thee. So they finally put their foot down that they're not going to hearken to Yahweh's word, whether Jeremiah says it, Paul says it, whether the Messiah said it. It doesn't matter in the bottom line. But we will certainly do whatever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven. Now, this is Easter time here that prefigures here, the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes, in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem, where then we had plenty of victuals, we had plenty of food, and we were well and saw no evil. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, now that's not a good thing. I hope there's not someone out there thinking that we ought to be giving praise offerings to Miriam. She is not the Queen of Heaven. She, or Mary, the former mother of our Savior, she is in the grave waiting for that last trump, to be resurrected. Just like Paul and King David, they're still waiting. Some will say, well, I object. Abraham and Moses appeared, in the cloud and so on. But to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine ever since they left off to burn incense to this goddess, this Queen of Heaven. And what we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make cakes, hot cross buns, make cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? So Jeremiah said unto all the people, to the men and to the women, to all the people which had given him that answer, saying, the incense that you burned in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, you and your fathers, your kings and your princes and the people of the land, did not Yahweh remember them, and came it not into his mind? So that Yahweh could no longer bear because of the evil of your doings, because of the abominations which you have committed. Kind of reminds us of the U.S. president there. Therefore is your land a desolation and an astonishment and a curse without an inhabitant as at this day, because you have burned incense. You have sinned against Yahweh and have not obeyed the voice of Yahweh, nor walked in his Torah, nor in his statutes, nor in his testimonies. Therefore this evil has happened unto you as at this day. Moreover, in Jeremiah 44, moreover, Jeremiah said unto all the people, to all the women, hear the word of Yahweh, all Judah, that are in the land of Egypt. Thus saith Yahweh of the armies, the mighty one of the Hebrews, saying, you and your wives have both spoken with your mouths, and have fulfilled with your hands, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed, to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, to pour out drink offerings unto her, you will surely accomplish your vows and surely perform your vows. You know, you didn't make them to the Messiah. You didn't make them to Yahweh the Father, but you made that to yourself and to each other. Therefore, verse 26, therefore hear the word of Yahweh, all Judah that dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, saith Yahweh, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, Yahweh liveth. Now maybe that's why they're not using his name Yahweh any longer. They're using substitutes. They're using the L-O-R-D title. It's not even a name, that's a title. So behold, I will watch over them for evil and not for good, and all the men of Judah that are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine until there be an end of them. Yet a smaller number that escape the sword shall return out of the land of Egypt. So here's Yahweh's mercy. A small number shall escape. You know, and where is it? Thessalonians, he says that there are 7,000 that I have reserved unto me that have not bowed their knees to Baal. And they shall return out of the land of Egypt into the land of Judah, and all the remnant of Judah that are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall know whose word shall stand, mine or theirs. Isn't that strong? And this shall be a sign unto you, saith Yahweh, that I will punish you in this place. Oh, people say that's not right. Getting even. But they don't see things through Yahweh's eyes that he is. You know, they don't recognize, they don't respect his authority to be the mighty one who has created all, who has created us. That I will punish you in this place, that you may know that my word shall surely stand against you for evil. Thus saith Yahweh, behold, I will give Pharaoh, Hophra, king of Egypt, into the hand of the enemies, and into the hand of them that seek his life, as I give Zedekiah, king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. I'm almost through. King of Babylon, his enemy, and that sought his life. Be immersed in the word and in the water, immersed in the spirit. Enter through one of the 12 gates of the city. That's a symbolic thing there. Read the book of the Revelation. Read that, and then he talks about the 12 gates of the city there. We must be filled with the Spirit in order to enter into Yahweh's presence. Clean the house before judgment comes to the house of Yahweh.